You know, last week we looked at Jesus and many of his I am statements. He said, I am the gate, I am the bread, I am the light, the life, I am this, that, and the other thing. And we talked about last week about I am the vine. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And I also covered the fact that Jesus is the source. We are not the source. We are connected to the source and we have to remain that way. Because if we are disconnected from the vine and disconnected from the source, his word says we are nothing. It says we can do nothing. So we have to stay connected. And I thought, you know, sometimes habits are tough things to get past. You guys know they've been doing construction on this road for years on and off, whether it was building the road or building the bridge, and that access was cut off for us to come this way. And out of old habit, I got down here today, and on the other side of the bridge, I stopped at the stop sign that's no longer there. It's a stoplight, and it was a green light, but I stopped there. So anyway, I'm coming down the road. I stopped and I said, oh, that's a green light. And I thought to myself as I was getting on the highway, there's a great message in that. Sometimes, even though we've developed new habits, those old habits come back. Now, I don't know if anyone picked up on that, but I said, as I got on the highway, because that's my other habit, 6 days a week going that way on the highway when I get to that corner. I had to drive down to Douglas and turn around. I've never done that turnaround. By the way, you can't just turn around and get right back on the highway. You got to go down around the hospital and up or down through more construction on Douglas. And I got on the highway. I thought, oh, come on, Lord. I'm trying to get this nice little thing going. Oh, sometimes we get caught in the old habits going back to them. Even though we've developed new habits. And there I got on the dang highway instead of coming right here under the bridge to church. 7 to 8 minutes later, here I was pulling in. You know, no big deal. Pardon the interruption. God said, well, there's a bigger lesson in there, Adam. You got distracted and you went the wrong way. And we do that sometimes in life. So open your Bibles today to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is where we'll be today. And we're talking about Jesus when he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You know, even in new habits, those old habits, they didn't go away, or they may have disappeared a little bit, but they didn't die. We have to protect ourselves and discipline ourselves from those old habits sometimes. And we have to make sure that we continue on with new habits that are good. Because we can go back to that old habit that's familiar. The old habits didn't die. We just tried to develop new habits to go around those. So when Jesus says, I am the way in John chapter 10, he's talking about the true shepherd. And he's talking about the good shepherd. And as we get into that, you know, I said earlier, sometimes we just don't feel like saying, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm okay. I'm all right. But let's give it a shot. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. You guys did great today. And sometimes we've just got to tell ourselves, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. May not be first thing in the morning. May not be by lunchtime. But sometime today, I will rejoice and be glad in it. But it's best to do that in the morning. Rejoice and be glad in it. Get up in the morning, be ready to go. God, what do you have planned for me? And that's a scary thing to ask him because sometimes he'll tell you. And sometimes you're thinking, really? Really, I don't want to do that. So in John chapter 10, verse 1 is where we'll start. And he's with his disciples. He's just healed some people. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the Lord, or is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him. And they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus used this illustration But I love this next part. But they did not understand the things that he said. Jesus kept trying to use illustrations with his followers, with his disciples. And it said over and over, but they did not comprehend what he was saying. They did not understand. They did not know the meaning of what he said. So he thought, well, let me reapproach this. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, and here's another one of his I am phrases, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then one of my favorite things that I've latched onto that I love, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He's come that we may have life but have it more abundantly. He wants us to be able to go in and out and find pasture where we're not hungry anymore. And then verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for a sheep. Now he'll start listing what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, someone who's just hired to watch over them and not a true shepherd. He who is not the shepherd, one does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He cares about the paycheck. I am the good shepherd. And he says, I know my sheep. You know, when he does the comparison, again, the hireling, he may say, oh, I'm the shepherd. I'm the hired shepherd, you know, is what that person is. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The shepherd in the old days, they'd have a wall around where they kept the sheep, and there'd be a little gateway, and it was open usually. And during the evening, the shepherd would lay across that opening to protect the sheep. He would lay down his life. And Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Remember that. We'll come back to that in just a minute. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. But of course, therefore, it says there was division again, because this happens again and again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many said to them, he has a demon and he is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And this was after Jesus had opened the eyes of a blind man. So again, by his statements, he's causing confusion. They don't understand. He tried to say it a different way. But now it says there's division amongst them. He gets through there and says, we've got problems. He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. The first part, they didn't understand what he was saying. He says, you know, he told them about the door into the sheep pen. But they said they don't understand. So now he says, I am the door. I'm the only way in and out. And I am the good shepherd. Now, in comparison, let's go on. Verse 22 of John chapter 10. In my head, it says, the shepherd knows his sheep. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and they said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, I think sometimes we might do the same thing. Hey, just reveal to me. Do something really great in my life so that I know you are the Christ and you are there. He's not there to perform for us. Jesus said, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So now he's saying, my sheep know my voice. He talks to them, and they follow him. If you're not following him, you're not part of his sheep. And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now that's great. I'm the good shepherd. He says, here's what we are. Now let's flip back in the Old Testament, just a little ways before the New Testament, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. And we've got to compare. Okay, good shepherd versus bad shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34. And I was going to try and leave some of this out, and I may, but right now it looks like I'll read the whole chapter. But it's important for the understanding of the good shepherd. And the word of the Lord, again, this is Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Okay, here we go. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. It doesn't sound like God is in favor of these shepherds right now that he's talking about. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Man, it's not a good look. That's not a good look for the flock. God says nobody was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. Verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself, I will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, for their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. For as for you, and as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. It is too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk from the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they shall eat what they have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, but at all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be prey. And I will be judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. I'm going to stop there for a minute and just skip down to verse 31. And it says, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Now, in that chapter, he goes from God, I am, to the God of I will. I am the good shepherd. In the very beginning, he's talking about the poor shepherds, the irresponsible shepherds, is my heading in my Bible. And in order to know the good shepherd, we have to compare that to the bad shepherd. And the bad shepherds were taking care of themselves. They weren't out searching. They weren't out seeking. They weren't out healing. They weren't out feeding. They weren't out bandaging up, looking after the sheep. They were looking after and feeding themselves. And then God starts it. I will search for them. I will seek them out. I will bring them out from the people. I will feed them. I will feed them good pasture. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down. I will seek what was lost and bring it back. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will judge between sheep and sheep and rams and goats. I will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. I will judge between sheep and sheep again. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Again, God goes back to saying, there will be one source. There will be one flock and one shepherd, and he will feed his flock. He will be the source. Not a hireling, but the good shepherd. He will heal them. He will be good to them. He will search them out. The scriptures tell us that when one goes away and he comes back with one, that there's celebrations. That's why you see the picture of the guy with him with the lamb across his neck, looking for that which is lost. And in Ezekiel, God is telling people, no, you've been irresponsible. You've done these things for yourself, but you have not done it for me. In my sheep, in my flock, in my kingdom. Now I'm going to jump back in to Ezekiel 34 where I stopped in verse 25. He says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. He's going to bring peace, church. As sheep in his fold, he will bring us peace. He will give us peace in the midst of what we're going through. And he will cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in the season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Look, Jesus is coming to set us free. Okay, and we may be bound up by any number of things. We may be bound up by our own prison that we've put ourselves in. And it could be that we've built a wall and a wall and a wall. And we say, Lord, I'm stuck here. As Kisha said, it's like turning over the leaf. He says, I just need you to turn around. Walk out that backside where you haven't built a wall. You built a wall all around you, but you didn't build one behind you, so you're not trapped in there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He says, I've got the way out. When we sing the song Waymaker, he's the way. But just like today, man, I know the way to church, but did I take it? No, I took the long way around. I got down to a place, and I went someplace that was familiar, but it wasn't where I knew I was going. I was just distracted. I couldn't believe it. It was 10 seconds down the highway before I realized, where am I going? But he says, I am the way. I am the way. No man gets to the Father except through me, the good shepherd. You can't take these other shortcuts. There are no other ways. He says, I am the way. He says that he's freed us from the yoke of that which enslaved us. It says in verse 28, and they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beast of the land devour them. Some people, are you just tired of being devoured every day? He's trying to free you from that. But they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up from them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know what I, the Lord, their God, am. He says, they'll know what I am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. And then again, he says in verse 31 that we read already, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. He says, I am the way. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. And I came that you may have life. And that you may have it more abundantly. He says, I don't want you to just get by. I want you to get by with excess. And I want you to get by with plenty. And I want you to have joy and have it to the full. Again, those signs that we have up at Advent, that's not a once-a-year thing that he wants us to have. He says, I want you to have joy and peace and hope. And in the midst of all that, I want you to have my love. And I want you to share with others my love and my joy and my peace and my hope. How is it that broken crayons can still color? Because they show people hope. When I'm broken, I can still be used. Because you are my hope. Because you've been through it and you showed me the way. How is it after this I can still have joy in my life? Oh, because Jesus Christ brings me joy. And when I wake up in the morning and I can celebrate, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That fills me with joy, knowing that I am part of His flock and that He looks after me. And someone says, man, if you can get through that, so can I. And I want that joy that you have. And it may take work. Like I said last week, sometimes you've got to be pruned so that you may bear more fruit. And we plant seeds. But we plant seeds and water it for a week and then go, where's my apple from the apple tree I planted? Well, it's not there yet, but it's coming. Fruit of the Spirit, patience. We have to show patience in the midst of that. Multiple times in the scripture in Ezekiel, God says, I am. And then he becomes the God of, I will. I will do this for my flock. And I will do this to the people that did not watch out after my flock. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My Father has given them to me. Who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one, he says. The good shepherd desires for you to hear his voice, and he desires for you to understand him. And he desires for you to follow him and believe in him. You know, a young lady, man that I worked with, had a baby while we were on vacation. And they brought the baby up to work on Friday. And they said, you want to hold the baby? I said, yeah, hang on. Let me go wash my hands. Let me do this. Let me do that. And I held that little baby. And that baby was about a month premature. Spent a couple, several extra days in the hospital. And I said, what a blessing this is. And the father has never had children before. Always wanted children. Never had children. And the mother has two children. And this being her third. And I said, is this everything you expected it to be? He said, it's so much more. And I said, it is. And I said, I'm going to pray over your baby while I'm holding this baby here at work. Because I believe that's important. And I held that baby. And I prayed over that baby. And I thought, what a joyous occasion to see life. So tiny. And I said, he pulled off one of her little socks and said, look how tiny that foot is. I said, can you believe that thing will be this big someday? Well, maybe not as big as mine, but it'll be big. He said, this is unbelievable. And I think, again, he came that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. And I shared that scripture with them. And I said, he wants you to have the abundant life, but he wants that for your children as well. He wants the little ones to have the abundant life as well. Before we close today, we have opportunity to pray. Josh and Nikki, will you come forward? They've asked us to pray over them. And before we get up and do music or anything, I just want to bring you guys up here and pray over you and pray over your baby that's coming. And I'd like to do this. If you would, go ahead and stand to your feet. If you guys just come right here. Pastor Eric, would you come up? And I'm going to ask this. If you feel led just to come lay hands on them, I want you to come lay hands on them. If you want to stand where you are and pray over them, we're just going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. Then I'm just going to leave it in silence so you all can kind of pray to yourself. Again, you can come up here. You can stay in your seat. It's okay. But we're going to pray for them and this exciting opportunity for them. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we lift up Josh and Nikki. God, we lift up this precious life to you. God, we ask you just to continue to be with them and be with the baby. be with the doctors and nurses and all those in charge of that baby's care when the time comes, that you give them wisdom and knowledge. God, we thank you for the precious, precious gift of life. God, we thank you for the precious gift of marriage and love. God, we pray today for the abundant life for both Josh and Nikki. But God, we pray today for the abundant life for this child. God, we pray that everything would be good with them and good with the child. God, that you would give them peace about it, joy. God, that you would give them rest when rest is difficult to come in the upcoming weeks, months, and years. That you would already be working in them for rest.